As we get ready to hear our scripture reading this morning, I'm going to share with you that I'm bookending the sermon this morning with scripture. We're going to read the first scripture at the beginning, and then we're going to read the last scripture at the end. So if you have your Bibles and want to turn and read with me, open up to Deuteronomy 4, the fourth chapter, beginning with the fifth verse. And then after we read this, you may want it open to the Isaiah reading and just be ready for the end of the service or the sermon. In Deuteronomy, we hear our dear friend, Moses, and he's speaking to the people. And it's around the time of the sharing of the Ten Commandments. He's taken the children out of slavery from Egypt, and he speaks to his people whom he deeply loves. Fourth chapter, beginning with the fifth verse. See, just as the Lord my God has charged me, I teach you now the statutes and ordinances for you to observe in the land that you are about to enter and occupy. You must observe them diligently. For this will show your wisdom and discernment to the peoples, who when they all hear these statutes will say, surely this great nation is a wise and discerning people. For what other great nation has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is whenever we call him? And what other great nation has statutes and ordinances just as this entire law that I am setting before you today? Hear this. But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Today is Christ the King Sunday, where we celebrate Christ in our lives. It's also the last Sunday that Mike and I will be leading the prayer preaching series that we've been involved in for these last few months. It's been a wonderful, wonderful experience, and I just want to say thank you on behalf of all of us for those of you who've been involved in the leadership in this time. And I just want us to recognize you a bit. If you are on the prayer team, if you have participated in some way with leading prayers, with the vignettes, with children's time, other ways that we've looked at prayer in some different ways, or if you are a musician that has so beautifully led us in this prayer time, would you please just stand? Just stand where you are. These are the people who will continue on as we finish this series in leadership. Our prayer team beautifully works for us, our choirs, our musicians, and all of us. We need to be involved in ongoing prayer. Thank you. I wanted you to see those folks so you can thank them. And I thank them. What's happened to you during this prayer series? In your own personal life. You know, I kept this little prayer journal, the first Sunday that we began this series, and Mike handed out these prayer journals, and we've had different kinds of homework through the series, and I've tried to do those. I had to move my prayer journal to my computer. I found myself writing too much, and so it's on my computer. But this week I was trying to reflect on what's happened inside of me during this series. And I realized that there have been subtle changes. And it's actually started to make, I think, rather significant movement in my own life during this series. I find that I'm starting to reach out to God more quickly. Now that sounds strange. I'm your pastor. Shouldn't I be talking to God like all the time? I found that attending to on a much more intentional, regular basis, my being in the presence of God, me, not your pastor, me, Lucretia, has made a real significant difference in me. At the beginning of this series, there's a personal relationship that was just eating at me inside. And I kept trying to work to fix it. I'm a fixer. I loved our vignette this morning. We're fixers, and we look at God sometimes to fix things, and we want to fix things, and we want to fix it our way. Our way. And what I've learned much more in this series is to listen, to wait upon the right timing. I've been a lot more aware of what I do to block peace in my attempts to control it. I've also become aware much more of what I'm going to call spiritual amnesia. Had someone who has asked me to, could not be here today, to please give her a copy of my sermon, because what on earth was spiritual amnesia? Well, let's break it down. What is amnesia? Amnesia is when we lose memory. We forget. It can be a total blank. Some of us know about that in our daily life at times. Spiritual. Spiritual is the divine. It's the holy. And so if you put that together, spiritual amnesia is when we have this blockout of the divine and the holy in our daily living. We go blank. We get all churned up. We're going to do stuff. We're going to do stuff. We're going to do stuff. We don't connect with God. I genuinely don't think we intend for that to happen. At least most of us don't, but it can happen. It can happen. And that's what I want to speak about this morning. I want to give you an example from nature that may help us visualize this concept a bit. How many of you have ever been to Yellowstone National Park? Just raise your hand. Oh, we got a lot of people. Okay. While you were there, did you see Old Faithful? Yeah, if you go to Yellowstone, you got to see Old Faithful. Old Faithful is a geyser that every... I'm going to move this a little bit so I can see my front row. So every little bit, every 30 minutes to be exact, the geyser, Old Faithful, erupts and it spews hot, steaming water, 60 to 100 feet in the air. And if you've been there, at least when I was there as a child, there was a clock. Anybody been there recently? Is there a clock still there? So you can look to see when the 30 minutes is going to be about up. And sure enough, there she blows. Well, as a kid, I kept waiting. I stood there because I was convinced it wasn't true. It wasn't going to happen. And I was going to be able to witness when it did not happen. 30 minutes came. 30 minutes went. Kaboom. There goes Old Faithful. It's magnificent. Philip Yancey writes about his experience with the same geyser. And he says that what happened to him, he, like me, kind of, I think, wanted to see what was going to happen with this geyser, and it kept going off. And so he and his wife eventually went to a little cafeteria, and I guess there's a large glass window where they could watch Old Faithful erupt. And sure enough, at the appointed time, when it was about time to erupt, he said everybody in the restaurant hopped up and they flocked to the window to watch the geyser. Well, sure enough, as it went off, as it did its thing, he said people oohed and they awed and they applauded. It was exciting. And then he noticed something. The waiters The waitresses, the busboys didn't even look. They just kept going about their business, doing their work, not paying any attention to this geyser that had become so familiar it wasn't even noticeable to them anymore. Our religious life can become like that. In our religious life, our faith can move in a similar kind of way. 19th century Jews had a saying, and it went something like this. Grandfather prayed to God in Hebrew. The father read the prayers in French, and the son doesn't pray at all. We can move in similar kinds of patterns where the beginning of our faith, a conversion experience, or if we've grown up in the church, this awareness of God and our commitment to dedicate our lives to Him through confirmation and joining the church occurs. It's a spiritual passion that's somewhat like a geyser in us. And then it can settle into a pool, a lukewarm pool. And it can get stagnant. And if we're not renewing it, it can even evaporate out of neglect and disillusionment. So our access to the holy isn't even available from us. Not from God, but from us. We don't tap into it. That's spiritual amnesia, when we go blank with God. Distractions get in our way. We get so consumed by all the stuff of our lives and getting to places on time and doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that, we don't slow it down enough to remember God. I had a client a couple of years ago who came into my office and said, you know, until I walked into this building, into your office, I can't tell you when the last time it was that I thought about God. I said, I got comfortable with that. Would you mind moving your office? Think about that. The last time I thought about God was, but I came into this building and I'm suddenly thinking about God. I'm not comfortable with that. Says something. It says something about us. Our first scripture lesson this morning references this forgetfulness. And Moses talks about the importance of remembering in this scripture. Now, I got to tell you, Moses loved his people. Moses loved the Hebrews, as did the prophets. You know, as we went through this series of summer, one of the things that I've gotten so much in touch with is the love of these patrons of our faith for God, but also their people. I look out, Michael and I look out on Sunday mornings, and we know you, a lot of your stories, and we see your faces, and we love you. We're concerned for you. We're concerned for ourselves. We love you, and together, we love this amazingly everlasting God. As Moses was sharing the Ten Commandments, this is what he said. Do you remember? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget. Later on, he says, your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, who brought you out of slavery. We can get so busy, we can get so successful, we can get so into our own selves that we forget the God who loves us, who gave us life, who cherishes us. So, how are we doing with this spiritual amnesia piece? How are we, the Christian church, the first church in Mechanicsburg, doing? I tried to come up with some what I think are warning signs of spiritual amnesia this week, and I'm sure there are a lot more. But I just want to share a few that hit me. Some warning signs of spiritual amnesia are when we blindly insist on our own way at all cost. When we're not kind, we can really get disconnected from the impact of our words and our actions on other people. When we get more and more frazzled. There was a day this week, I was really feeling frazzled. And I went home and I turned on the fire. That's great when you can flip on the fire. Patted the dog and took a nap and tried to just be in God's presence. Amazing energy boost. When we become more and more critical and less encouraging. Possibility of spiritual amnesia. When we lack courage in striving, and as a church striving for transformational faith, not stagnant pools. When we aren't forgiving, when we spend energy, more energy, in trying to get a person or get even with a person, in proving another person wrong, than in expending our energy and encouragement and compassion and connection. Basically, when our focus is more on ourselves than on the holy in our daily living, when it's more on the dark and less on the light, we're in danger of spiritual amnesia. So how do we avoid it? You know, as we leave this series, your pastors, I think all of us involved in worship leadership, our prayer team, are committed to, in this time of worship, doing all we can to reach out for God. That's what worship is. It's opportunity as a community to remember and to reach out to God. It's about helping us not forget, but renew. How do we avoid spiritual amnesia? We practice what Brother Lawrence called, we practice the presence of God. Brother Lawrence lived in the 1600s. He was a Catholic monk. He wrote this beautiful, beautiful little book called Practicing the Presence of God. I recommend it. Brother Lawrence talks about how important it is to develop what he calls this holy habit of all through the day engaging in a continual, silent, and affectionate conversation with God. Sometimes not so silent. But all through the day experiencing our connectedness with God. He talks about the importance through the day of saying thank you, Father. That's so simple. Thank you. Thank you for the people who are here today. Thank you for what looks like is sunshine out there. At least there's light in here. Thank you for the ability to come and to worship. Thank you for the amazing children we have in this church. For youth who will sleep in cold weather this week. For people who give in this mountain of boxes and coats. Brother Lawrence says, we need to say thank you and develop the habit of constantly through the day thanking God and being aware of His presence. How do you begin your day? It's time to get up. The alarm goes off. You shut it off. 10 more minutes of sleep. Just 10 more minutes of sleep. Then you start thinking, did I reset the clock? Is that alarm going to go off in 10 more minutes? Oh, I've waited long enough. I guess I got to get going. And then we start to fly because we're already late to our next thing. Brother Lawrence would say, slow it down. Thank God for your day of life. Love Him. Experience His love for you. What a way to start a day. Whatever's happening in my life, there is my God. around me. God is always present around me. My task, your task, is to be aware of that presence and to allow ourselves to be in God's presence. We move into the light. Intentionally, we move into the light. Years ago, I was a counselor in a summer day camp when I was in college. And I've shared with some of you this story, but at the end of our day camp experience, the director of the camp came and he brought a group about six adults from Japan. And they spoke no English, but they came to observe and look at what a church camp would be. And the director brought him, we had a little bit of time before lunch, and he brought him to us. My partner's name was Mike. It wasn't this Mike. I have this thing with Mikes that I get in trouble with. But anyway, my partner's name was Mike, and Mike Sanders and I thought, what do we do with these people who don't speak any English for, 40 minutes? So we decided to take them on a hike. And we got them up, and we started hiking and hiking and hiking, and we're talking, da-da-da-da-da. We had no clue where we were going. And we got lost. Get this picture. These poor Japanese who kept trying to get, they were hungry. They were trying to say eat, and we'd say, yeah, look over there. We were doing everything we could to convey that we knew what we were doing, that we were in charge. It was fun. It was great, great, great day. We'd sing songs, and they would do pray, and we just kept moving along. I didn't get scared until the day started shortening and it started getting dark. There's something about darkness and being in a forest with a group of kids and people from Japan who can't speak English. It has a way of getting to you. As it got darker, we became aware of light, and we could find our way out with prayer, with perspective, with light. When we are lost, folks, we don't get anywhere but in more trouble when we move to the dark. We need to move to the light. We need to move to the light. We sometimes forget whose we are. The writers of the scripture knew that. And if you have your Bibles and want to read with me, in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, let's read these words. This is many, many, many years after Moses. And in Isaiah, in the 40th chapter, beginning with the 28th verse, the writer says to the Hebrews, and I will say to us, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint nor weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Believe it or not, even youth will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We reach towards God in prayer. That's our light. That's our renewal. That is truth. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.